Hey y'all, yes, this is the Bills Wire podcast, and I am your host, Jeremy Uhas. All podcasts of Bills Wire are proudly presented to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. Please make sure, if you haven't already, to get to Bills Wire. We have a lot of great coverage going on. We are in the thick of mandatory minicamp right now, ever so close to the season and training camp at the end of July. This episode is really special for Rich Kowalski and I because we are about to introduce to you Kevin Connors, who is joining us today. Kevin, of course, is the ESPN personality, anchor, journalist, if you will, the former Ithaca Bomber. I know he'll like that. He, as you also probably know, a huge Bills fan. We wanted to get his perspective on the team. He's, like with everyone, rode through all of the times of the drought, the disappointing Super Bowl losses, and still maintains his loyalty even at a large institution where I'm sure he's pulled in many different directions at ESPN. So without further ado, Kevin Connors joining us now. Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Jeremy, we got to stick together, man. So it's great to be on with you and Rich. And every time's a good time to be talking Bills football. So let's do it.
For sure. Well, I actually wanted to start with the Yankees because I know you're a big Yankee guy.
All right.
And a little curveball here to start, just because they're having such a big year with 42 wins on the season. Are you happy with that start with the team?
How can you not be, right? I mean, you know, regardless what your expectations are, to be where they are, to have the start that they've had, is outstanding. And Jeremy, you know, the amazing thing when you think about it, Stanton has not had any extended run of dominance. Gary Sanchez is hitting under 200. Judge has been consistent throughout, but he hasn't had a week where he's blown you away with his numbers. Now, Didi had a good first month, but think about where the Yankees would be if it weren't for Gleyber Torres and for Miguel Andujar, who didn't even start the season with the big league team. So I think for the Yankees to have the record that they've had, given the injury they had at first base and the fact that none of the real big time stars have had any significant run of dominance, it's remarkable to me, and it shows the depth of this team, and it shows really what could be for the rest of this season.
Yeah, definitely a good analysis there. I think them and Boston obviously neck and neck. Do you have any other fears in the AL, Houston, or any other team that you think could pose a threat here in the postseason if it comes to that?
I think it's amazing how in the American League, you know, when teams broke camp, you knew for the most part the four teams that were going to be going to the playoffs. It was going to be the Yankees, it was going to be the Red Sox, it's going to be the Indians, and it's going to be the Astros. So, in my opinion, there's not going to be any major drama among the teams who qualify for the playoffs. You know that those are the four strongest teams in the league. And yeah, I think where the drama is going to be is, do you want to get into that wild card game? Or do you want to know that if for one given night we run up against a pitcher who can totally shut us down, that could be the end of the season? So I think, listen, Yankees, Red Sox is always fantastic. And given the especially the offensive talent that both of these two teams have, it's going to be fun to watch. But even more so for that reason.
Yeah, I know you're a big golfer as well. Will you be watching the U.S. Open this weekend?
Oh, yeah. You know, Jeremy, I grew up on Long Island. So right. for the U.S. Open, for the golf world, to be gazing on Long Island, Shinnecock out in near the Hamptons, of course, yeah, I'll be in on that. And I haven't gotten to play as much since my daughter has been born, but I enjoy the sport. I didn't grow up playing. I actually grew up caddying, and I didn't play the game until I really got into college, and then, you know, on a consistent basis here in the last few years prior to my daughter being born. But it's a great sport. I would encourage anyone to get their kids into it because so much business is done on the golf course. But yeah, you bet. I'll definitely be watching the U.S. Open all week.
And for our audience, just can you tell us, Kevin, just how you got your start in sports journalism, and kind of take us through your career path real quick?
You know, it's a great question, Jeremy. I knew from an early age, I'd say probably early on in high school, that I knew I wanted to do something in sports. I grew up playing sports, watching sports, living sports. Early on, I had pretty good self-recognition that, you know what, Kev, it ain't going to work for you. You're not making the NBA. So what can you do To have a career, make a living out of doing something in sports, and broadcasting was a logical choice. And I got very fortunate. I got to play college basketball at Ithaca College, which had a fantastic television radio school. It's the reason I went there. And I studied at Ithaca, got a great degree there, and because of a good friend that I had, a connection, had a job. You know, 3 days after I graduated college, I started, and I've been, thank God, knock on wood, working in the industry ever since. Coming up on, or it is 21 years now. So it's been a fabulous ride. It's not to say it's always been easy, but it's a joy to do what I do. And you know, there are times where I complain about things, and then you kind of take a view from 30,000 feet above, look down on things, and you say, you know what are you really complaining about? You got it pretty damn good.
Yeah, for sure. Tell us, I mean, all of us want to know really how you just became a Bills fan next.
Yeah, it's a, you know, my dad grew up in central New York. He grew up in Ilion. So he was a Bills fan growing up, and much as he was a Yankee fan. So I kind of followed in his footsteps there and cheering, rooting for those same teams. And being a Bills fan on Long Island, you know, it's bad enough when you've got the two New York teams, the Jets and the Giants. But, you know, really, when I was in high school, it was, you know, the Super Bowl 25, 1990, what was it, 1993, I believe. No, wait, no, 91, I think, was Super Bowl 25. I was a sophomore or junior in high school. So, I mean, here I am. I'm this guy out there on an island. I'm a Bills fan in the middle of Giants and Jets territory, but it made for some fantastic moments growing up, and I didn't get, you know, I probably got to see the Bills play certainly the two games against the Jets and maybe one or two other times during the regular season and then the postseason. So I didn't see them a lot on TV growing up, but I certainly do now. And, you know, it's been an affiliation that professionally here, I've made a lot of good friends, you know, through social media, being a Bills fan. And I maintain that we've got the best fan base in the NFL. And so it's great to have opportunities like this to connect with other Bills fans.
Yeah, that's awesome. Growing up, who did you really root for on the Bills? Who was your favorite player?
You know, early on, of course, it was Joe Ferguson, Joe Cribbs, Jerry Butler, Fred Smirlis. But then, you know, really of when I was aware of guys and being able to see them and enjoy the Bills' run, of course, was the, yeah, it was the great Marv Levy run, whether it was Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, my three favorite players, Andre Reed. How deep do you want me to go down the roster? I mean, you know, that was my era. Those were some of the great, great teams of all time. I maintain the best team to never win a Super Bowl. I don't know that you'll find another team go to win four straight conference championships, four straight Super Bowls again. There's just so much parity in the NFL. So, I mean, that was really in my wheelhouse. I loved those teams. And though it's a shame they never won one, I think those of us who watched them know just how good they were.
Yeah, they were amazing to watch. We're a little bit younger than you, Kev, but you know, I remember my mom throwing those parties. And, you know, just it was an incredible time. And I think you're right. It's kind of unprecedented that we'll see four straight years them being in the Super Bowl. Also, you know, what is, I guess you talked about the fans and kind of connecting with the fans and getting to do things like this. What does Bills Mafia and just kind of this whole, I guess, millennial-ish type movement with the fan base mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, listen, you know, Bills Mafia, how do you characterize a fan? It's someone who devotes time, financial means to supporting a team. And I defy you to find another team in professional sports in the last 20 years that has had the disappointment that the Bills have had. In addition to, let's just be honest about it, Jeremy, you know, I mean, it's not easy to go to games in November and December in Buffalo and sit outside for 3.5 hours. You know, the Dolphins stink, but boy, you can sit and watch those games in Miami and you can sit back and enjoy the weather and enjoy the views, if you know what I mean. I mean, Buffalo, it's not quite as easy. So, you know, I think Bills Mafia is a brotherhood and a sisterhood of people who are devoted to a team and are passionate about a football team that hasn't been great, but I think is turning the corner. And I mean this sincerely. It's awesome to be a part of.
So where were you when the Bills finally ended the drought? Were you working, and what were your kind of thoughts when that moment happened, when Cincinnati scored that final touchdown in Baltimore.
I'll tell you exactly where I was. I was getting ready to do the 11 o'clock Sports Center that Sunday night, and I was sitting next to John Butchergross, and we were both sitting there writing the show and watching the game. And I'm not trying to be overly dramatic here. I mean this sincerely. I could not believe it when Dalton threw the touchdown pass. It didn't fully register to me because I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. This has played out before, but it's always been us that's been getting the shaft. You know what I mean? These sure. incredible mm-hmm. scenarios have happened, and we've always been the one that's been taking it, a work boot to the teeth. So for us to finally have it happening for us in this miracle scenario that played out, it was incredible. It was stunning. It was literally stunning to me for a little while. And then, of course, you realize that, hey, you know what? This playoff drought, this albatross is finally over. And, yeah, I was realistic with maybe we stood a chance to beat Jacksonville going in. I think looking at that game, we could have played a better game, possibly should have beaten the Jaguars. But I'm realistic with where we were. It wasn't going to go much farther than that. But to finally get that stigma disassociated with us, we're no longer the team that has this long playoff drought. Boy, it's nice that it's finally over.
What did Butchergross have to say when you guys were watching together? Was he happy for you?
Oh, God, yeah. No, I mean, listen, there's a lot of – I mean, virtually everyone at ESPN knows that I'm one of the long-suffering Bills fans. So Butchie's great. He's a Midwest – guy. He's from Pennsylvania, grew up a Steelers fan, so he gets what it means, and he's one of the guys who has a really good idea of, you know, how passionate people are about their team. So he was super supportive. We high-fived. It was a great it was a great moment.
And just being, you know, at ESPN at a national outlet like that, it's hard for Bills fans and people in Buffalo, I think, to get kind of noticed, or at least pronounced on a bigger stage more often, just because of its nature of a smaller market. And I just kind of wonder, you know, being at such a large sports juggernaut like ESPN, what's kind of the national perspective that you feel around the building about teams in Buffalo and specifically the Bills?
You know, you can sit down and at a show meeting, and you know that if all else is even, the teams will be most talked about will be the Steelers, the Cowboys, certainly over the past two decades, the Patriots, the 49ers, the Packers. It's if you want to call those the glamour teams of the NFL, the New York Giants fit into that category. Those are the teams who I think will generate the most general viewership, right? Where do the Bills fall in that? If we're talking about those being the top 5, 6, 7 teams, the Bills are probably near the bottom 5 of the NFL in terms of how people view them inside the walls of ESPN. But let's be honest, this is what I know over the course of the last 10 years, and I'm not sure that we've done too much to warrant more coverage than we've gotten. Mm-hmm. Now, I think what ESPN sometimes gets accused of on a national level is, oh, there's an East Coast bias, or boy, they keep doing the same things. Well, that's generally speaking, what the appetite is. And not all the time, but I think generally it is. So I think what the Bills have done here, ending the drought, drafting a quarterback, generating interest about the team again, you got to push yourself back into the conversation nationally a little bit more to get more of that attention. But winning will do that. And if we can continue on the path that we've been on, under this regime, I think that's possible, that you will see more coverage of the Bills nationally.
Yeah, we got one more on the drought. I know we hate talking about the last 18 years, no playoffs and everything, but looking back on it, I know there were a lot of good teams through those years and a lot of great players. What was one of your favorites during those times?
Ooh, it's a good question, Rich. During the drought, Fred Jackson, me, was a guy who,
pick.
Yeah, he'll never go down. You know, you won't see his jersey, you won't see his bust in Canton one day, and deservedly so. But Fred was a guy that gave you everything that he had. He was a long shot who made it, right? And he became an outstanding player in the NFL. To me, he kind of encapsulated what the Bills are all about, right? This team that mm-hmm. you don't expect to be great, but he kind of overachieved. He got there. He handled everything, still does to this day, handle everything with incredible grace and class. So he would probably be the guy that stood out to me. I'd have to give that a little bit more thought, but he's the first guy that comes to mind.
Yeah, it's incredible too. You know, he was undrafted and took a while to get into the league, played in NFL Europe, arena football. But I mean, looking back at this draft, who do you like? Who do you like that the Bills took?
Rich, I love the move that they made at quarterback. Now, listen, what do I mean by that? I'm not telling you that I think Josh Allen is going to be a perennial All-Pro, but I think it's been long enough since the Bills have had a franchise quarterback. And so I'm not convinced that Will Greer or Jared Stidham or Shea Patterson or Drew Locke is going to be the answer next draft. So I think what the Bills did is they said, you know what, we're not going to get number one. We're not going to trade up to get number one. The cost of trading up to get two or three is going to be too high. So they were that ruled them out of getting Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. So what they did was they identified from there, in their estimation, the guy who's the next best quarterback. Now, now listen, it's me sitting here in central Connecticut, can I definitively tell you that Josh Allen is going to be a better quarterback than Josh Rosen? I don't. I didn't watch either one of them anywhere near enough in college, so I'm relying on the fact that the Bills employ professionals to watch these guys and see how they play. What I like about Allen is he's a big, sturdy guy. He's got the great arm. He has played in cold weather, and all of those things will factor into 8 or 10 games a year that the Bills play. So look, can he improve his accuracy? Could his numbers have been better in college? Sure. Could he have... How many of those throws were to receivers who didn't run the proper routes? How many of those balls were dropped? How many of those were plays that he could have checked down and didn't to improve his completion percentage number and instead tried a more challenging throw? I mean, these are all things that are unknowns at this point, but I love the fact that they went, identified a guy, and they got him, much the same way they did with the linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds. So I think both of those picks, I mean, Edmonds so far, everyone raves about him. Allen, of course, we can talk about this in 10 years and say whether or not it was a good pick or not, but I like the fact that we were aggressive for a change and that we took a shot. We could have swung for singles in this draft, and instead we swung for the fences.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. No, I was, I guess, a little higher on Allen than I think a lot of fans were initially, scared about the accuracy issues. But now that he is a Bill, Kev, what do you think about the QB trio that the Bills have on the roster with Nathan Peterman coming back for a sophomore campaign, and of course bringing in A.J. McCarron from Cincinnati? What do you think about the trio?
You know, I liked McCarron a little bit more than some, but I spoke with one, I don't know if I should, well, whatever, I'll say it. I asked Jeff Saturday flat out, I said, what do you think of A.J. McCarron? He said he's not very high on him. Now, what's the body of work on A.J. McCarron? What are we talking about? 8 to 10
starts.
NFL games, you know?
Yeah, games, yeah.
I mean, that's he almost won a playoff game.
Four starts.
So it's so tough. It's so tough to know what you have in a guy like that. I think what we did was we didn't break the bank on getting a free agent. We got a guy who could be who will be a stopgap, who could be good enough, who hopefully will be a good tutor to a young quarterback. So, listen, if McCarron turns out to be a Pro Bowler this year, then we've got a great problem on our hands. If he turns out to be a guy who can mentor Allen and get him better, then I think that he's served his purpose. And, you know, as far as Peterman goes, he was sort of, I was in favor of giving him the shot midseason last year. It obviously didn't work out. And by didn't work out, I mean didn't work out as much as anything in the history of the NFL didn't work out in the first 30 minutes of that Chargers game. But, you know, look, again, he's probably going to be a guy who won't dress for most of the games this year. If you see anything in the preseason and you can trade him to be a backup somewhere, that's probably what his future is with the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, in the contract they got him under, too, it's pretty flexible. I mean, do you think that the receiving position, you know, it's a little concerning to see what they have? They're kind of unproven. Are you concerned at all?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, I look at Kelvin Benjamin's, obviously, you know, he's got history in the league, but it's been a few years since he's played like the first round pick that he was. You know, Zay Jones, at times last year, he had his moments, but then there were times where he didn't play like the guy who he was billed to be. You know, he was billed to be this guy that had sure hands and didn't drop anything. Well, he dropped a lot of things last year. And then, of course, the bizarre offseason thing, who the heck knows what happened there. You know, so, yeah, I think that that's definitely a position that we need to, you know, further address. Jeremy Curley's a guy who's probably going to start. But
it's a great name.
It is exactly, yeah. So, you know, look, it's not the deepest position on the roster. It certainly is one of the least deep units in the NFL. But who knows? I mean, you know, Dez Bryant is still out there. Maybe there are some guys who come into camp and they surprise. But yeah, right now, I'd say that there's probably justifiable reason for concern.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin, what do you think? Just about the whole process mantra from Sean McDermott, and because I think this kind of speaks to the wide receiver position kind of in a nutshell, where they're going for more quantity rather than quality and trying to just create competition at the position with younger guys, and you have a little more flexibility with contracts and stuff, but with going with younger kind of free agents or lower round picks like that is, I just think that that's a kind of a genius way to build a roster in this day and age with the salary cap. We see it, you know, with the news coming out today, like Earl Thomas is not going to minicamp. And a lot of guys that are just frustrated with their contracts, they want more money. And I think the Bills are just kind of starting this quote-unquote culture that we hear about all the time. And I'm just curious what you think. I think it's really smart, and not just saying that because we talk about the Bills, but from just the entire NFL, I think it's a very great way to build a team, and I'm just wondering if you agree with that.
Jeremy, I do. You know, I think that, you know, there's precedent for it. I think that the Bills are, I think when Bean and McDermott came in, they identified what was there, and it wasn't a roster that was void of talent, but there wasn't anywhere near as much talent as some of the teams who were ready to compete. So the team and the front office said, you know what, we can continue to kick the can down the road and be 6-10, 7-9, 8-8. Or we can say, you know what, we're really going to try to start this over, and we're going to try to do things the right way, and we're going to try to get better through the draft and make some free agent signings, but don't break the bank. I brought up Dez Bryant's name a little while ago. I don't think he's coming to the team, right? That just doesn't fit what this regime has done. So what you do is you go out and you hope that a guy like Allen works out. It certainly seems as if Edmonds is going to work out. You improve the team through the draft. I think they made some great trades by, you know, they got some capital in the draft by trading away Sammy Watkins last year. They got a second-round pick back for a guy they weren't going to re-sign. They got rid of Darius, who was so totally unreliable given what he does off the field. Mm-hmm. So I'm on board with all that they've done so far. Now, again, 10 years from now, do you want to have this conversation? Could I be wrong? There's no question about it. But I think that this group said, you know what, at some point, you got to bite the bullet. You got to start over. And let's try to go about doing this the right way. And so far, I'm on board.
I mean, a main guy in this this core group, too, that they've built around is LeSean McCoy. I know there's been a lot of talk whether or not, amongst fans, whether or not they should trade him before that draft to maybe get some more capital. But also, that aside, I know we had this debate on our podcast before, too. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Ooh, good question, Rich.
You know, Rich just like fires out a bullet.
I know. Holy smoke.
Whoosh.
Man, oh man, it's like a rabbit punch. You know, he's close. I would have to look at, in his case, I'd have to look at the numbers.
That's kind of where we went. In a couple of years, we'd say, you know, cementing it. But, I mean, he's done
He's been
stuff.
A good player for a long time. But I don't think he's quite there yet. But he has to be the best player on the team, right?
Listen, I said this last year, just in terms of pure talent. I was watching a game and I said, outside of probably the Hall of Famers that the Bills have had, I guess that's an obvious statement. I was going to say outside of Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, and Jim Kelly, and OJ, he's got to be the most talented guy to have worn a Bills uniform, right? I mean, he is. Mm-hmm. You can watch a lot of running backs play, as we all have, and the difference between really good and great is noticeable. I can't quantify it, but it's noticeable. And he is a great running back. He has different gears. He has, as his nickname is, Cuts on a Dime. He is a difference maker when he's on the field. You know, boy, how long did we watch C.J. Spiller run sideline to side, you know, sideline to sideline and not forward, you know? So, and McCoy is just so different in that regard. So I kind of wish that he was 3 years younger so we could enjoy, so that he would hit when this team might be nearing its peak. He might be in his prime, but he's a hell of a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, C.J. Spiller was like that kind of power play hockey equivalent where you have fans just yelling, shoot, but instead they're just yelling, please just run straight, you know.
Oh.
Just crying for the guy to just cut up the middle or, he ran sideline to sideline way too often. But, definitely agree. He has to be one of the most talented. He's electric. He's, like you said, a game changer. And hopefully they don't put too much on his plate this year, whoever is behind center, because of that. The offensive line is also in flux, too. But we want to switch gears a little bit, Kevin, to the defense, because you talked about Tremaine Edmonds. I think he was an excellent pick also to get up there and snag him in the first round. But just about the secondary, you know, it was pretty special last year with what they had. And depending on the growth and production from the front seven, what do you think of this Bills defense overall?
You know, it's been very good, in my opinion, over the last few years. I you know, adding Vontae Davis, you know, what does he have left? I don't know. But he's a veteran presence, and he might make some, he could be a guy. Not that Trey White needs a tremendous amount of tutelage after what he did as a rookie, but he could be a guy that helps Trey White develop even more. You know, Hyde and Poyer were outstanding. I can't remember the last time the Bills have had two safeties of that caliber. So it's been a luxury to have both of those guys back there. You know, Lorenzo Alexander obviously is nearing the end, but that certainly doesn't mean that he doesn't have anything left in the tank. I think he's been an outstanding, unheralded player, not among Bills fans, but nationally. I don't know if he gets the credit he deserves. He's been an outstanding player for them, much the same way Kyle Williams has. And I think that for the first time last year, he kind of started, funny enough, by running in a touchdown. I think he started to get a little bit more national attention as to how good he's been in the middle of that defense. But you know, I love adding Lotu Lele. He's a guy who, if nothing else, is a space eater. And then you add Trent Murphy and Jerry Hughes on the ends, getting after the quarterbacks. This could kind of be a sneaky, good defensive unit this year.
Yeah, no, I think I definitely agree. It will depend, I think, on the front seven, because they couldn't get to the quarterback last year, and if they did, you know, a lot of the times the middle kind of collapsed, and we saw it in the AFC playoff game where Blake Bortles would scramble and pick up first downs. They had no one really kind of filling the middle, but hopefully they get the pass rush this year to see if they can kind of shore up that defense. So, Kevin, will you get a chance to go to camp at all? I know, you know, you're obviously obligated, super busy schedule, but do you get a chance to go to camp or any plans to go to any games this season with the family, or you just kind of watch on the Sunday ticket or the cable like everybody else?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a little tougher to get to a game this year. Here's your exclusive here. The Connors family's welcoming in another baby in November. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, we haven't announced that too much. Here you go. Tonight's the night we're doing it.
We're honored. Congratulations. That's really cool.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, guys. Yeah, we're doing that. That's in November, so it's going to be tough to get up to a game this season. But, you know, listen.
Well, that's for the best reason, so that's awesome.
This is true. I mean, yeah.
Yes.
I appreciate that. And then as far as camp goes, listen, I've got my hand raised every year, but the studio people, they tend to keep in studio. So me being an anchor, it's tough for me to get out on too many assignments in the field. But I'd welcome
talent. You're talent. You have to be. You know, you have to be in your spot. They need you. You're just too important, Kevin.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. If you'd like to talk to my bosses, Jeremy, I'd appreciate that. But they tend to keep the anchors in studio. But maybe maybe hopefully I'd love to get out.
For sure. So, yeah, no, we really thank you for coming on for this half hour or so talking with us about the Bills. And we know a lot of fans value your opinion and kind of our national cheerleader within ESPN a little bit about the team and just kind of keep a pulse for the team inside ESPN. Rich, do you have anything further for Kevin?
No, just go Bills.
Yeah, listen, guys, it's been a pleasure, and anytime that I can come on and talk with you again, just say the word, and I'll continue to try to push for national coverage of us, and hopefully there'll be a reason to talk about the Bills.
And so anyone listening, where can they find you if they haven't found you on Twitter or online to catch your tweets and all that?
Yeah, you know what? I would love to have you on board. It's at Kev Connors, ESPN, KevConnors, ESPN. And then on Facebook, I think I've got a professional page there set up. You know, when you're really big and important like me, you've got to have a professional page set up. So,
there you go. Now you're starting to talk like I want you to talk. There you go.
So yeah, anytime you want to reach out, let's chop it up.
We'll do that. Yeah, definitely. Maybe closer to the season or a little bit into the season if you're not too busy with being husband duties and all of that. I know you're going to be busy, but. Again, congratulations on that and for announcing that. And thanks for talking Bills football with us here on Bills Wire. And that's Kevin Connors. So for Rich Kowalski, I'm Jeremy Uhas. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you on the next episode.